listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Let's talk today about some mistakes that people make in the process of trying to save their marriage. And I want to talk about it by telling you about something that happened in my childhood. Now, I'm not the one who did this, but it happened in the hometown that I was living in. This was a rural kind of area. There are about 15,000 people who live in this area. And I knew this person who had a little bit of a fire at their place. Their field was on fire. And I remember because we were driving down the road and I was seeing the burning on one side of the road. Of the field. The field had just kind of burned itself away, and there was smoke everywhere. You could see the smoke for miles. The smoke covered the road. And what I noticed was that fire had jumped the road and had lit up the other side and was spreading wildly. And what I also noticed was that their fire department was there trying to put it out. What was interesting to me about that is here I was driving down the road right through a fire zone with firefighters on each side of it, and there I was just driving along, and that's why it stands out in my mind. Well, I remember the story because I knew the person that this happened to. What had happened was, as in many rural areas, particularly in the South, this person was burning the waste from their yard. You know, they had clippings and such, and it was kind of in the fall of the year, so they were burning leaves, and they were burning twigs, and they were burning off all of the old stuff, the last clippings of the yard and all that good stuff, and what had happened was it had gotten away from the pile that he had set up. Now, there wasn't quite enough clearance around that pile to keep it safe. And so as it was burning and he was tending to it and raking it up and trying to make sure that it was safe, a little bit of an ember got away from him. And that ember got onto some other dry areas and began to burn. And there he was trying to rake it up, and there was a little burning spot going on that he didn't really pay attention to, but it began to grow. And so he tried to rake it into the area with the other debris, but it began to grow further. And so as it began to grow, he worked to keep trying to do the same thing. He was just kind of raking and trying to keep it all together, but it was gaining in strength and heat, and he was still raking away, trying to keep it from getting away from him, but it was getting away from him before he was even able to do anything. So the first thing he did is he grabbed a shovel and he started digging some dirt and throwing some dirt on the growing area of fire. And he began to dig some, and then he would rake some, and then he would dig some more, and then he would rake some. And it began to grow and grow, getting more and more out of hand. So then at that point, he began to do everything he knew to do. He was throwing water on it. He was digging dirt up and throwing the dirt on it. He was raking leaves on top of it, doing everything he could out in the middle of the field, away from a lot of resources, trying to get it back under control. Well, as you can imagine, a couple of things he was doing were helping. The water was very useful in putting out the fire, and the dirt was very helpful in smothering some of the flames. But the leaves he was throwing on top that he was hoping would smother it just added fuel to it. And the debris he was throwing on top trying to smother it out ended up just being more fuel for it. And pretty soon it was growing out of control. So then finally, as everything was beginning to spread and as it was beginning to grow exponentially around him, he decided it was time to call in some help. So his neighbors came over and they tried to do the same kind of thing. They were throwing dirt on it. They were throwing water on it, raking it wherever they could. And it was just growing. And soon somebody said, it's time to call the fire department. So out comes the fire department. All the volunteers were there. All the trucks were there. And they worked as best they could to control the flame. By the time they were there, it had already engulfed a lot of his field and was threatening his house and was beginning to threaten the other properties. At that point, he knew that he had made a mistake, and so you would think that he would be willing to admit to it. So I remember talking to him and asking him about it, and his first response was, it's not my fault. It wasn't my fault that it was so dry out there. It's not my fault that the ember got into the air. It's not my fault that it was a windy day. And I remember being astounded by that, kind of speechless about it, because it was absolutely his fault. Now, the reason I was talking with him is because at that point I was serving sandwiches in a restaurant downtown, and he came into the restaurant and he was still trying to explain to everybody around why this wasn't his fault. And he was quick to proclaim that. Now, one thing I did know is that he was constantly saying that when his business was in trouble. He told me it wasn't his fault that the business was in trouble, just that the town was poor now. And he told me over and over again about how many things were not his fault. I remember when his girlfriend broke up with him, it wasn't his fault that she didn't feel cared for and that she had broken up. So there were lots of instances where I realized that it was a pattern in his life. So just for a moment, I want us to kind of notice the patterns that were going on there, because I think they outline four mistakes that we often see when people are working to save their relationship. I've seen this consistently over and over. So let me tell you what those four mistakes are. The first one is they wait too long to act. They might have noticed some things were not quite right. They might have noticed that things weren't quite feeling right, but they weren't willing to address it. And so they waited too long to act. Now, here is the problem with that. A marriage or any relationship has a certain life spin to it. You either are working to keep it going or it begins to spin out of control. And so when you wait, what you're doing is putting yourself in a pause place. You're hoping that things are going to get better. So you're keeping doing what you're doing. You keep on acting as if everything is okay, when in actuality, the underpinnings of it are already in trouble. For the fire had already leapt out of the ring. The fire had already spread, but there was no action. He kept raking and trying to do the same thing to keep the fire in the same spot it was supposed to be, but it had already leapt out. Many times in relationships, people wait too long to act. They're afraid to act. They're afraid to rock the boat, afraid to say, I think that relationship is inappropriate, or afraid to say, I'm not feeling connected here, or to say, it doesn't feel like you have the same connection. And because of that, instead of dealing with a minor incident in the relationship, it's a major incident. It's grown out of control. And the problem is, then at that point, it has its own fuel source. It's gained its own energy. It's no longer in the ring of the relationship. It's broken out. Which brings us to the second mistake that people make. And that is that they take no consistent action. They waited too long to act. Now it's out. And then they're not doing anything consistently. Sometimes it's because they don't know what to do. In this case of my friend who was fighting his own fire, he was out away from the house, away from a water source, and what he had at his disposal was a shovel. So he did the best he could with that, but it wasn't consistent. He would dig a little bit, throw some dirt on, then go back to raking, and then dig a little bit, throw some dirt on, and go back to raking. And the same thing seems to happen in relationships, that instead of being consistent about the approach somebody takes to save a relationship, they do a little bit and then they back off. They do a little bit and they back off. And sometimes that pattern is this. They realize that something needs to change in the relationship, and so they step it up. And they work at it, and when they get a little traction, they back off. What that usually means is that no real change has taken place. Maybe your spouse has said, you know what, I don't like it when you talk to me this way. Or maybe I don't like it when you act that way. And so the person makes some initial changes, stops treating the other person that way, acting that way. But they don't really change what's underneath that behavior. They just are acting as if they have changed it. And so for a while, it gets them a little bit of a cushion, right? The relationship gets back on track a little bit because the spouse goes, wow, I can see you're putting in some effort there. And so the spouse moves back towards them. The problem is the underlying dynamics haven't really changed in the relationship or in the individual. And because of that, it's only a matter of time before the fire begins to spread again, before the crisis begins to creep in again. So now is what you realize is the other person becomes very resistant to the efforts because they've been burned now. When there wasn't real attention given, now they feel a little bit burned, and now they're even more resistant and more angry and more upset, and the crisis has gained a lot of power. The leaves now, all the twigs and everything, all the fuel around suddenly is engulfed. It's not just about the crisis that was there. It's spread to other places. It's found the other sources to fuel that fire. And the other sources may be other people. It may be other conflicts that have been in the relationship. It may be other dynamics that have already been there. They just haven't been on fire yet. Now they're engulfed in fire. So what happens? Well, then too much action in too many ways begins to happen. So in the fire, he began to throw some water on, he began to throw some dirt on, he began to throw some debris on, he began to throw some leaves on, all hoping that it would help. It was basically not aimed. It was whatever you can grab and whatever you can throw on. And the same thing happened when he called his neighbors. The neighbors came over and they did the same thing. Everybody was in a frantic action without any direction or focus. And that's what I see happening many times in the middle of a marriage crisis that leads to the third mistake of taking too much action. The problem is not that it's the action may be wrong, but there's so much of it. So suddenly you're trying to win over the other person, and you're reading on the internet, and you're learning about all these different approaches, and you're throwing everything you've got at them. You're reading books and watching videos and going after it in every way possible. The problem is that's so much of a change, and usually so many things changing, that it looks, one, suspicious, two, disingenuous, and three, it's very ineffective because you're trying to hit everything. So instead of saying, what is it that's going to take care of this crisis, you throw everything at it. Back to the fire analogy. Different fires need different things put on them. If you are in your kitchen cooking and the oil catches on fire, the last thing you need to do is throw water on it. All that will do is cause the fire to spread. You need to smother it. If you're outside and the leaves are burning, the first thing you want to do is throw water on it. If some wood has caught fire, the first thing you want to do is throw water on it. There are different ways you need to approach different crises. It could look like the same thing. A marriage crisis here, a marriage crisis there is not the same crisis. There are root causes that need to be addressed, and there are stages in the disconnection that need to be addressed. Different stages of a crisis need different things. A little fire in that yard could have been dealt with just a couple of shovels full of dirt that would have taken care of it, or maybe just a couple of buckets of water. But once it's gotten to the next level, it takes something much bigger than that. Just a spoonful or a shovelful or even several shovels full of dirt does nothing. Just a little bit of water, buckets of water does nothing because it's at a different stage that needs a lot more attention, a lot more focus. So when somebody decides to take all the action, usually they're missing what really needs to happen. They're also doing so many things because they don't know what to do. It's desperation. It seems so abrupt that the other person doesn't know what to do with it and feels overwhelmed. They're trying so hard to gain connection with the other person who is disconnected that it blows everything out of proportion. So then suddenly it's too much action. Instead of saying, how do I focus my action? How do I move in a direct way that's going to address the underlying issues that are here? Which leads us to mistake number four. It's not my fault. This is not my responsibility. Now, in our culture, we have a problem of recognizing the difference between responsibility and blame. Whenever I'm talking with people who are involved in a marriage crisis, I do recognize that there are two people who are part of the crisis. And there's no reason to really be looking for who's to blame. But it is important for somebody to say, I'll be responsible. I'll be the one to step up and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to fix this part. Now, back to the fire. This person did some things that needed to be changed, right? He did some things that caused the fire to get out of control. And for him to say, you know what? That was my fault. These pieces were my fault. I picked the wrong day to do the burn. I picked the wrong place to do the burn, and I didn't have the tools necessary to do it. That's all my bad. He could have said, I just didn't know better, and that would be understandable. But to be able to say, it's not my fault that that got out of control, changes the whole thing. So that's the same in a marriage crisis. To be able to say, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for this, and I'm going to clean up what is my fault. I'm going to look at the things where I have fallen short, and I'm going to make those changes. I'm not going to wait for my spouse to say, oh, wait, you know what, I've got a role to play in this too. I'm going to get busy. The fact is that whenever there's a crisis, somebody has to step up, not to wait for somebody else to do it, but to step up and say, I will take responsibility for this. So back to the fire analogy, because I love the analogy of a house on fire as how we think about responsibility. If you're in a house and that house is burning, the last thing you need to ask is, how did this house get on fire? Whose fault is it that this house is on fire? You can always look at that later on if necessary, but right then the question is, how do I get myself and us safely out of this? How can I take care of this situation so we get safely out with minimal damage possible? That's about taking responsibility. I often see in relationships people coming into my office and constantly telling me it's not my fault. Why should I have to do this? And the fact is that fault and doing are two very separate things. Whether it's your fault or not, you can decide to be responsible to do something in a different way. So let's talk some about what you do from here. First, waiting too long is either pass by, right? It's already happened, or you want to chop it now. You want to decide you're going to intervene now. Sometimes people find my information early on in a crisis. Sometimes even before a crisis has started, I have a lot of people who say, you know what? Your information is so good on how to avoid problems in a relationship that I've been listening to this before we had any problems to avoid any problems down the road. Great place to not wait too long to act. But let's say it's already happened. Well, there is a proverb about the best time to plant the tree, and that is years ago before you need it. The second best time is now. So wherever you are, now is the time to begin to take action to make sure your relationship is the best it could be, that you're stepping into the relationship as best you can. So number one, wherever you are, it's time to act. Number two, taking consistent action is crucial. Now, consistent action is usually based on the fact that you have chosen to make a change, not just in how things look, but how things really are, to address the underlying issue. So you want to find an approach that gets you to be working on yourself, not just trying to fake out your spouse. You're going to read lots of things on the internet about using reverse psychology and manipulation as a way of getting your spouse to do what you want. That's not about saving a marriage. That may be about stopping a divorce. It may be about kind of catching the attention of your spouse, but it will not last because there is no true change in that. It's just a little trick. When you really decide that you're going to bear down and really lean into your relationship and lean into saving your relationship, you need to be willing to say, I've got to change myself. I've got to take consistent action in myself and consistent action in the relationship to make a difference. Which leads us to this next piece. It's very easy in our culture to have information around us. We're surrounded by information, and all of that information gets us to want to do everything possible instead of what needs to be done. So we throw in this and we throw in that, and we do this and we do that. So you might start with my ideas and decide you're going to connect with your spouse. And then you read about this reverse psychology thing and you say, you know, I'm going to do that and see if I can turn my spouse around. And then you read about the no contact rule, which I've critiqued before, and you decide to do that. And then maybe you come back to the connection thing. And what you're basically doing is throwing everything at the crisis rather than figuring out what really needs to happen in the crisis. Don't make that mistake. Plot your course, stay your course, build your plan, stick with your plan. Whenever we find ourselves without a plan, we know that we're going to wander around because we're going to start throwing everything that sounds good at the moment towards it. And why does something sound good? Because of our emotional state. Not our plan, but our emotional state. Which leads us to number four. Decide now that you're going to take responsibility to change what you can change, to change yourself and to change how you relate. What's amazing is when you step up and you say, I'm going to change how I relate to my spouse and I'm going to change myself, magical things happen, not just in the relationship, but in your life, because you're changing who you are and you're changing how you relate. That brings everything new into your relationship. I want to invite you, if you don't have the Save the Marriage system, that can give you a way of moving consistently. It can break the first rule, break that place where you may have waited too long, because now's the time to take action. Now is the time. Maybe you should have, and you can look back and say, wow, I should have addressed this 5-10 years ago. I should have addressed it 3-4 months ago. I hear that consistently, people saying, I wish I had used your information earlier. Now is the time, though. Not in the future, but now. The past would be best, but now is the better time than any other time. So go ahead and grab the information. There's a link underneath this for the Save the Marriage system. It's a great starting point so you understand where you're headed, you understand where you've been, and you understand how you need to change that. That will begin to create an understanding for you of how to take consistent action. And then you want to stick with your plan. Now, if you choose another approach, that's fine. Just make sure you stick with that approach. Make sure that you follow through on whatever approach you choose. Just make sure that that approach always feels to you like it's above board, like it's honest and direct, and like there is real change involved for you and the relationship. And that's where you go when you take responsibility. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.